And it's interesting when we think about the congregation here at Gooch Lane. I guess in all of the years that I've preached, I have never been at a congregation where there were so many young people who had such serious health problems in such a close proximity of time. We think about the journey that Kate has made thus far with dealing with her difficulties. We think about those who are related to ones here, Blakely and her struggles, Sandlin and her struggles. And it's a humbling thing, because when you are a parent, for sure, you think about a child who is so totally dependent on you. That baby comes into the world and you are its source of life. It depends on you for nourishment and for shelter and for raising. And we think about these young people who have had such difficulties, and I know the strain that that has been on those families, because they certainly feel that pressure more than anyone else. But I think for all of us, it's somewhat of a humbling thing, because we consider here is a child who in many ways is so helpless and so dependent, but yet we want to do everything we can. Certainly for parents that's true, but grandparents and aunts and uncles, but also for our Christian family, that bond that is there desires to be able to provide. But let me say this also. Despite all of these difficulties we have seen, it has been a very faith-building experience. As you know, Pam and I are not big into social media, but a few months, I guess maybe longer than that ago now, Pam got a Facebook account specifically for the purpose of keeping up with some of the struggles that are going on. And on several occasions, she'll say, "Come here, you need to read this." And she'll show me the post, and it will be a family member, typically the parents, who have talked about how this has been such a faith-building experience for them. And it's amazing to see how that parents who are dealing with all of these difficult things can say, "I see God at work." Who can say, "Because of this, I have been able to reach someone else." And I think for all of us, that is such a remarkable thing. And as we think about Vincent today, we know that there is great struggle and very serious times. But what we understand is that God is in control. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. As Peter is closing out his epistle, he gives a very encouraging thought amidst some very serious warnings here. As he's talking about the devil and all that can be done by him in a bad way, I want you to note what he says just prior to that. Verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you." But then note what he follows with, "Casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." I tell you, as much as we study God, we'll never fully understand God. Because here is a being who is concerned about the grand schemes of the world, who raises up leaders and brings down leaders. Here is a God who knows what's going on, who controls the universe. But yet a God who says, "I want to know about you. I want you to cast your cares on me." So many times we think about our problems and we think about the problems others are having and we think how minute and how silly to be even concerned about these things. But here is our God who says, "Don't think like that." He says, "What I want you to do is to cast everything you are worried about on me so that you are not cause to worry. So that you can understand that I am in charge. That I am in control, and that I care for you." And what a comforting thought that is for the Grahams this morning and for all of us, that here in the midst of these very serious hours that are to come, they can know that the prayers, not only their prayers, But those that all are being prayed throughout the world are being heard by the Lord because He cares for us. And as we think about that caring nature of God, it certainly reminds us of the power that He has to not only hear, but to answer our prayers. I think about Psalm 46, which is, I believe, one of the most powerful psalms that we find as we think about these writings. Here the Lord is talking about the trust that we are to have. And listen as this psalmist writes how he begins in his discussion of God. He says in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And then verse 10, He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That idea of being still is not necessarily the idea of taking this calm approach to things. It's saying, stop your frettings and pay attention to me. And as we are faced with struggles, I believe that's what God tells us. He says, stop your worrying and remember what I can do. And I believe this morning we are reminded of what God can do and that God can hear our prayers and that God can answer our prayers. And as we pray for Vincent this morning, I want us to understand whatever the outcome of this young man's struggle, God is good, and His plan is good. If He chooses to allow this to go through with great success, we can rejoice in the goodness of God. If we find, however, that His plan is different from that which we think we desire, we remember that God is good. God has everything under control, and that we need to be still and to hear that. As Christians, we can understand that because as Paul wrote to the Philippians, we understand also that there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that a Christian has is one that cannot be put down in words. We can talk about it. We can give ideas about it. But it is a peace that comforts when nothing else can. And when we pray, we know that our prayer is heard. And when we pray that the will of God will be done, we can have confidence that that will be done. And in that, there is peace. But in the meantime, God has said, I want you to pray. I want you to let me know what your cares are. I want you to trust that I can handle the situation. And we think about a passage that's alluded to so often over in the book of James. In chapter 5, we go down to verse 16, where specifically James is talking here about spiritual problems, but certainly the idea is not limited to that. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. But listen specifically to the last part of that verse. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. God hears. And God will answer in the very best way that He can. God will provide the answer that needs to be given. And in that, He wants us to trust. As we think about Vincent today, we're going to take time to join in song, to express ideas to one another, as well as in our praise to God, that will show that concern that we have not only for him, but the trust that we have that God is in control. Carl is going to lead us in a prayer on behalf of Vincent.
Will you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the privilege of prayer that we should come into your divine presence. Is amazing to us that you would listen to us, and that as the creator and redeemer and sustainer of this universe, that you are willing to hear our prayers. Our Father, we realize at certain times in our life more than ever before, your greatness and your ultimate power. And Father, we recognize that as best we as human beings can, and realize your greatness, and ask you today to listen to our earnest petition. Our Father, we confess our sins to you. We often say and think and do those things that we should not, and leave undone things that we could do, and we ask you for forgiveness. We ask you, Father, to bless our nation and forgive our nation. Forgive our leaders for so often wandering far from thee. We ask you, Father, in spite of that, to bless our nation and to help us to realize that it is such a privilege to have the freedoms that we have, even this morning, that we could assemble here without fear and that we can worship. And Father, we thank you for that, and we ask you to continue that, and may it be extended to others throughout the world. Our Father, we are so thankful for every provision that you've made for us. Already today, we have concentrated our minds for a few minutes on the sacrifice of Jesus as we partook of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, and thus partook of Christ. And as we shared that divine feast with one another, we realized afresh that there was one who was willing to die in our stead, that we who are so unworthy should live. And we thank you for that. But especially, our Lord, we come to you today on behalf of Vincent. We know that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we know that you have the power to heal, and that you have the power to do all things well. And Father, we ask you for healing for him. But even as we ask, we realize that we must ask that your will be done. Our great desire is for the healing of his body, and that he may grow up to be a fine young man and your servant. We're thankful for the beginning that he has already made and for his earnest desire to serve you. And even today, we're thinking of incidents of his sweet spirit and all of the suffering that he has already endured. And we ask you, Father, to help us as we think of that, to realize that you have a plan for each one of us, and we may not always ascertain what that is. But we believe that you know and that you will do what is best for us. And so today we lay it to you and commit to you and ask you to bless according to your will this young man and this very serious surgery today. Father, our desire is that he may grow up and be a useful servant of yours. And Father, we ask you, as you do all things according to your will, to remember that desire that we have. Father, we ask you to bless Yvonne and Terry and Vincent's sisters as they wait with him and as they place their confidence in the medical skill of these who are assisting him in this surgery. And we pray, Father, that you will bless the hands that minister to him. And we pray that it may be successful. And Father, we're thankful that even this close to us, that we have such facilities to care for us when we're sick. Father, help us to struggle to put all of life's experiences into the greater perspective of eternity, to realize that you are our shepherd and that you will bless us and lead us in paths of righteousness and even through the valley of the shadow of death. And may we, in the words of the psalmist, fear no evil because you are with us. And Father, help us to know that and in every circumstance of life to realize that you have promised to be with us. And Father, in that confidence, we as a people, as a congregation, ask you to bless this family. Father, will you strengthen their resolve as they wait those hours during the surgery, and as they earnestly pray, and as they're longing for his well-being. Father, we know that you see all of that, and you know all of that. We know that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and that you know far better than we what is best for us. And so we commit all of that to you. Will you bless us as a church? Help us through every experience that we pass to be drawn closer to you and closer to one another. Help us to realize the vastness of eternity and the great hope that lies before us. And help us, Father, step by step as we go through life, to learn to trust you more and more and more, till finally we are with you forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, we pray and amen.
Today we've been reminded of several things, but I think one of the biggest that perhaps we have thought of is that of time. Time is a very important concept to us. I'm sure last evening as Terry was driving back from Texas, time was on his mind. And we think about the surgery and how everything is fitting together, the necessity of the proper timing. We pray for Vincent, and our prayer is that he will be healed. But even if the Lord chooses to give him another 70 years on this earth, he, like all of us, unless the Lord returns first, will face a time of mortality. It's interesting that the writer of Ecclesiastes in his grand experiment came to that conclusion. He said, you cannot break the cycle that God has put into place. You can't beat the system, to put it in a more modern term. And he will come to the conclusion at the end of his book that it's time to fear God. And I would encourage any this morning who have not yet made that decision to come to God to let that weigh heavy on your heart today. We all are mortal. We all face a limitation of time, that there will come a point, we don't know when, but there will come a point when our time on this earth will cease and we will enter into the state of eternity where we will be judged by an almighty and just God.